every stipulation in the universe, everything perfectly in accord with this cause, cause and effect, an adequate cause. And guess what? This creator showed up. He split history in two. He came in fulfillment of prophecy we can prove historically was in existence hundreds of years before his birth. He did miracles only the creator could do, including raising a dead, stinking, rotting corpse, Lazarus, and making him a living human being again. Only the creator could pull that off. And he raised himself from the dead to boot. So he displayed the credentials for who he claimed to be. He split history in two. There is good reason to trust in him as being an adequate cause, not nothing. But you can, if you want, and many demand that you do, believe in eternal, impotent nothing. The high priests of the religion of evolution will give you their blessing if you do. It won't be worth anything because from nothing comes nothing. So you get no blessing anyway. All right. In conclusion, I quote Stephen Hawking in this Discovery Channel episode where he said, "It's my view that the simplest explanation is there is no God. No one created the universe, and no one directs our fate. This leads me to a profound realization. There is probably no heaven and no afterlife either." Well, thanks a lot. There's no Christian heaven, and there's no afterlife for any other religion that happens to believe in an afterlife, which a lot of them do. But this all-powerful scientist says, sorry, doesn't matter what you would like. If you'd like to have some hope beyond the grave, too bad. Science has shown that everything came from nothing. So we came from nothing. Our purpose is nothing. When you die, you get nothing. Well, you know, who in the world would want to believe that unless there's unapproachable, undeniable scientific and logical evidence to back it up? There isn't. So why would we want to believe this? Basically, he doesn't like God. You know, he used to be married to a Christian woman. In her autobiography of her life with Stephen Hawking, she said at one time, she asked him, why can't you just believe in God? And why can't you just stand up and tell the world, I believe in God? He said, oh, what would my professional colleagues and my friends think of me if I caved into saying something like that? Oh, it was like he was living for the praise of man. Well, he has fame, he has fortune. He's one of the most famous people in the world. But all the fame and fortune in the world can't buy your way into heaven. And it can't buy your way out of hell. From the eternal perspective, it isn't worth a whole lot. You know, it's such a sad thing. He was created in the image of God. God loves him. Jesus died for him. He could have a new body. Dance in a jig for all eternity in a new body with no more sorrow, sickness, pain, no more tears, no more curse, no more death. For the former things are passed away in the new heaven and new earth. And yet instead, he says, oh, I'm so smart. I figured out everything came from nothing. I came from nothing. My purpose is nothing. When I die, I go to nothing. At the end of this quote, he says an interesting thing. At least I have been able to contemplate the cosmos, something to that effect. And for that, I'm profoundly grateful. Grateful to who? For what? The fact that you have been able to to contemplate the universe, you will never remember. You'll never remember you ever existed, Dr. Hawking. You'll never remember that you achieved anything or that you contemplated anything. When you die, that's it. It's as if you never existed. There'll not even be a memory that you ever existed. And when everyone else goes extinct, they'll never remember you ever existed either. So your life is as worthless as it can possibly be. You might as well not have existed because neither you nor anyone else will remember you ever did once we're all dead. No hope beyond the grave. Well, I would not want to believe that unless there's overwhelming evidence. And as we've seen, there is not. There's another scientist, I think, who has a lot more logic and truth. I would rather listen to him. His name is Blaise Pascal. He's one of the most famous scientists of the late Renaissance age. One of the greatest Renaissance philosophers and mathematicians, considered the father of the modern science of hydrostatics, and a contributing founder of the science of hydrodynamics, and a pioneer of probability mathematics. He, in the 1600s, there was a resurgence of atheism in France. And he befriended many atheists. You know, Jesus was a friend of sinners too, wasn't he? Because he wanted to love them and convert them to the truth if he could. Well, they loved Blaise because they thought, man, we love to gamble. And you're working on this new mathematics that actually helps you calculate the odds of chance events. So tell us with your mathematics, what gambling games should we choose to have the greatest chance of winning jackpots? And he said, I tell you, my friends, the best way you can win is not to gamble. Because the houses of gambling and casinos have already, by trial and error, found out which games favor them and do not favor the gambler. And they're only going to let you play those games. And so you might win now and then, but the longer you play, the more mathematics and probability guarantees you will lose a lot. But he said, why are you so intent on a temporal reward of money which your own atheistic philosophy says that when you die, you'll never remember you won or owned any money at all. You just go to oblivion. You'll never even realize you ever existed. Surely the most important wager any human can make with their life is whether or not the claims of Christ are true, because he promises eternal happiness and joy for eternity beyond the grave. You don't lose it all. So he formulated his famous wager, known, of course, as Pascal's wager, and it goes like this. How can anyone lose who chooses to become a Christian if, when he dies, there turns out to be no God and his faith was in vain? He has lost nothing. In fact, he has been happier in life than his non-believing friends. If, however, there is a God and heaven and hell, then he has gained heaven, and his skeptical friends will have lost everything in hell. Basically, he is saying, your belief system says that no matter what you believe, you die, you rot into plant fertilizer, that's the end, there's no hope of an afterlife, a heaven, anything. And so if you're right, you get nothing, oblivion, when you die. However, if you're wrong and there is a God and you rejected his love and his redemption and his offer of eternal life, then you're going to be excluded from him for eternity, imprisoned away from his presence. The very definition of hell is exclusion from God, who is the source of every good thing. If you're imprisoned away from the source of all goodness, guess what? There's going to be nothing good there by your own choice. So he said, you guys don't even have a choice. Christ offered us a choice. You say no matter what anybody believes, they die and they go to oblivion and that's that. There's no choice. But Jesus says what you believe and how you live your life does make a difference for eternity. There is a choice. And what you choose determines your eternal destiny. He says, but if you're right, it's a lose-lose proposition. If you're right, you die and you lose everything, even the memory that you ever existed. That's if you're right. If you're wrong, you lose even worse. You will be isolated from God for eternity in prison called hell. It's a lose-lose proposition guaranteed. Why would anybody gamble their life on a guaranteed lose-lose proposition? At least with Christ, there's a choice. At least with Christ, there's a possibility of something. If it turns out to be wrong, well, you haven't lost any worse than anybody else. You have nothing to lose by putting your faith in Christ. But man, if you're right, you get everything for eternity. And that is worth wagering the very purpose of your life on the claims of Jesus Christ. There are profound reasons to believe he is the way, the truth, and the life, that he was telling the truth. He offers something infinitely better than nothing. And I hope you have all made a wager that the words of Christ are true. I have made that wager. I hope all of you will do the same. Thank you very much. Thank you.